Blog Talk Radio.
Second Peter 1:3 tells us that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. I have everything.
You're the highest.
2 Peter 1:3, that says, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, they have called us to the glory and virtue. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask our evangelist, Sharon, if she would be so kind to give us a word of prayer.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thank you for your selection, Pastor Beasley. She is all we need. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Good afternoon to all the listeners. In 1 John 4, the King James 1-4 reads as follows: Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, for the Spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Amen. I want to thank God for giving us our specific instructions so that we cannot be fooled or bamboozled or tricked, and that we would know the truth, spirit of truth, for we can't be tricked because it's in the lining of our heart, and he's given us instructions, specific instructions to try the spirit by the spirit, and all we have to do is mimic Christ and listen to the word and stand in the word, and we will be saved from all that is in this world. I want to pray for this broadcast, for those who are struggling, for those who ask us to remember them in prayer, for those who are bereaved. And I want to pray for those who are shut in and under duress as well. I thank God for this broadcast, for our pastors, for the word, and for God opening up my heart to the Spirit, that I continue to learn and grow in the Spirit. I pray for all that are listening and who believe in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon, for that heartfelt prayer. In Mark 4, those that, and I know where we're at, we're talking about the working of the Holy Spirit in the church in 2021 and beyond. It hasn't changed, brothers and sisters. The Holy Ghost is still in control. Now, that seed is going to have to be planted in you. And that's what we've been talking about. This seed has to produce of its own kind. In other words, whatever seed is in you, what you're going to produce. That's why it's important with the scriptures you just read, 1 John 4. You got to know how important that is. You got to try the spirit by the spirit to make sure what you're getting up in you.
Yes. Amen.
It's very important, brothers and sisters, because you don't want to receive any kind of spirit, because you got a lot of false prophets out here. And when I say false prophet, You're going to have to broaden your horizon with that concept. See, we think false prophet is just somebody who put a bandana on their head and go out and preach. No. You got false prophets who have have at least thousands and thousands of followers. Some of them got more than that.
Yes.
I know one false prophet, he got 1 million. And all he thinks about every day is how many likes he can get. That's all he's concerned about, how many likes he can get. But the point of it is, you don't want to get the wrong thing in your spirit. You don't want to sow the wrong seed in your spirit. Because whatever seed you put in there, that's what is going to come out of you. See, the Bible can't lie. It works both ways. You know that, right? Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you got to know what you being sown in your spirit means. Very important. Because that inner image is what's being sown. So today, as we search the scripture, we're going to start with Mark 4. And I know we read 14 through 29. But I'm going to look at 26 through 32. That's Mark 4.
Mark 4:32. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, we knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn is in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? For with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becometh greater than all herbs and sheweth out great branches, that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. You said 34? I'm sorry. And with many such parables speak, see the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Amen.
Amen, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Pastor, for that selection. And thank you, Evangelist Sharon, for that prayer from the Message Bible, St. Luke 4, 26.
Mark 4.
Oh, I meant that. I'm sorry. I'm looking at it and saying something else. Thank you, Pastor. St. Mark 4, 26 through 32. Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like a seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forget about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps harvest time. How can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go. Yet once it is planted, it grows into a huge pine tree with thick branches, eagles nest there. Amen.
This
Amen.
Parable is about the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
That records only here in Mark reveals the spiritual growth. And that's what's so important about this, because that's what we're talking about, the spiritual growth, not just any kind of growth. Now, notice he said parable. So I want to take a moment to say a couple of things on parables, because it's so important to understand that, first of all, Jesus had to talk in parables. There was no other way. He was trying to give a spiritual view to earthly-minded people. Now, we go back to our favorite scripture over there in 1 Corinthians, and 2, what we do, 10 through 15 or 16? Well, when you go back there, you'll find out that the spiritual stuff is going to be foolishness unto a lot of people. So Jesus said, you know what? This is spiritual, and it's going to be foolishness, so let me break it down in a parable form. That's why he had to go parable on these people. Did you hear that? He had to go parable on these people, because they wouldn't understand. They was earthly minded. So he's doing a spiritual growth here, and he's telling them how it's going to grow, how it's going to happen spiritually.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Now somebody may ask, why is that so important? Because of this picture that God's kingdom, which is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, that's what his kingdom is all about. How you going to explain that to somebody?
Amen.
How you going to explain that?
Mm-hmm.
How you going to give the real essence of that? How you going to be able to dissect that, and a person will be able to articulate, they'll be able to receive pretty much what you have articulated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the only way Jesus could do this, so they could see the spiritual side. Now let me remind you guys again, this parable is about spiritual growth.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's about the seed that grow, but remember, the story is about this spiritual growth. How you know that? Because the kingdom of God, he says, is like a man. So he's talking about God's kingdom, God's government, which is a spiritual kingdom. You can't see it through the optical nerve. So this is why you have to give it to them in a parable, so that they'll know how they're going to grow. So Mark reveals that spiritual growth is continually guided by the Holy Ghost, that is finally consummate with the ground, that there will be a harvest. And in this harvest, it will be spiritual maturity. And we can understand the process of spiritual power by comparing it to the slow by certain growth of a plant. And when you think about comparing it, the Bible says you have to compare spiritual things with spiritual. I just think it's awesome, man. But when he says it's shown, when it's sown, he says it groweth up and become greater than all the herbs. See, this is important, that you understand that what seed is being planted here. Now, I probably could go back and talk about some of the seed, which happens to be the Word of God, brothers and sisters. That's what it is. So when we go back to Mark, we'll go back up there to 14. I think we did 14 through 29 yesterday. So let's go back up there. But I wanted you to see that we're talking about spiritual, because actually when you get when you really read this, I don't know if you guys read this or not, but you'll see that that verse, I mean, parable from the second verse through the 13th verse, Christ is just telling them, hey, I'm going to tell y'all this stuff in parable. Because some of y'all going to get it and some of y'all not. But I know if you are hearkening unto my voice, see, because that's one of the prerequisites here to require is to any man that hear can produce. Hearing the word is mentioned 10 times. And it's that's important.
All right.
Because it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual. So
yeah.
Let's go and do 14 through 29.
That's Mark 4, 14 through 29.
Yes, ma'am.
Your King James, it reads as follows. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are the likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have not root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bag, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, of him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade in the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, the farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the ground. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. And some are like the seed that lands in gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm, but there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Jesus went on, "Does anyone bring a lamp home and put it under a washtub or beneath the bed? Don't you put it on a table or on a mantle?" We're not keeping secrets, we're telling them. We're not hiding things, we're bringing them out into the open. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Listen carefully to what I'm saying and be weary of a shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead in the world on your own. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like a seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happened. The earth does it all without his help. First, a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps harvest time. Amen.
Amen. You got sowing time.
Amen.
And then you got harvest time. Okay? And with this, I want you all to, there's a lot of things I want to point out. So let me just go down and point out a few things. First of all, you have to see that this was spiritual. It's a must that you understand that this parable was spiritual. So a lot of people want to teach it from the flesh, but brothers and sisters, this was spiritual. It was meant deliberately to be taught spiritually. Well, everybody won't understand it, so that's why Jesus wanted us to understand this spiritually and teach it spiritually. So the subject of the parable is the word and how to use it to produce the 100-fold or to become mature, okay? So what's important is that you got to know that anybody can have it, because requirement is to hear. If you will hear it, another thing I want to point out, after you hearing it, you got to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he says this, and this is the part I just keep tripping over this 24th verse that says, take heed to what you hear. Take heed to what you measure. Because, see, what you put in you is what's going to come out of you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's how you're going to determine. And that's going to be trying the spirit by the spirit. This is all spiritual. Let me move on. The growing time from plant to full growth is really important. That's what he was pointing out. The growth time from planting to full growth. When the inner image of our seed began to grow. I don't want to say success, because people think spiritually you're growing successfully because you got a house now. You're going to learn how to pray. You're going to learn that's not being successful, brothers and sisters. You haven't began to grow. You might have grown financially. You might have grown morally. You might have grown otherwise, but you hadn't grown spiritually, because they have nothing to do with the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The inner image won't be formed by your ability to pray. That's not how the inner image is formed. The inner image is formed Because see what happens is Satan sees it. I got to say this before I leave. Satan sees it. And when he sees that inner image is being formed, he gets angry. He gets jealous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you asked. He come and steal that word. He come and take it away. So a lot of times you're dealing with stuff, and you don't realize you done got a word, and Satan's figuring out how he can steal it, how he can take that word from you. That's what's going on. But unless you watch it,